As some of you may know, that I spent 12 years serving in Her Majesty's Royal Navy. I served on ships such as the frigate HMS Marlborough, the fishery protection vessel HMS Dumbarton Castle, and the carrier HMS Ark Royal, where I served in the Iraq War of 2003. And when we used to say whether a ship was good or bad, we meant it in terms of its people. Those who served on them. Warships are not necessarily attractive to look at or pretty. They are really just grey hunks of metal that float in the sea. They are designed primarily for war, not just for keeping the peace. But an important point needs to be noted. It was the people that made the ship good. It was the people that made it great to be on. It was how they interacted with each other, how they supported one another, how they made the ship great, right down from the captain to the lowliest able seaman. Everyone had their role, from those who made the ship go to those who cooked and provided logistics, as I did. Ships were self-supporting and self-sufficient. They had to be, which meant that people had to be at their best and to do their best to get along. They had to be patient with one another. They had to be forbearing with one another. They too had to be humble and gentle with one another in order to make the ship work at its most effective. The ship's company could not be seen to be divided among itself. Otherwise, it could not function correctly. How could it perform its primary purpose of keeping the peace and engaging in war if the ship's company were fighting amongst one another and were divided? And this is a similar principle within the church, God's instrument on this earth, and we are that instrument. We are God's community, whose primary role is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to an unbelieving and sinful world. And we cannot do that effectively if we are divided and fighting among ourselves, which is why we must, as the church, clothe ourselves with the character of Christ, which is why we are looking at the fruits of the Spirit during this term, where we are essentially unpacking the true character of a Christian, how we are expected to behave in the context of the New Testament church, and how we are to behave towards one another. Today, we are looking at the fruit of gentleness, where from Galatians 5, verse 23, we see one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. And we have read two passages this morning where we see that gentleness is an essential part of the Christian character. And without gentleness, we cannot, nor will not, fulfill the purposes God has for us in our Christian lives. So we are looking at three points together today as we examine these passages. Firstly, we are looking at the character which brings Christian unity. We cannot be united if we are not gentle with one another and humble with one another. And it is a known fact, a sad fact, and it's a sad reality these days, that many churches split because of pride and self-promoting arrogance, where people spend much of their own time seeking their own glory and their own gratification and not God's. Psalm 115 verse 1 tells us, not to us, but to you be the glory, O Lord. And that is who we are to glorify, the Lord, not ourselves. We are to glorify Jesus, and we will do that through our unity. Secondly, we will look at the divine origin of Christian unity through the Spirit, of how the Holy Spirit is the agent of that gentleness, working through us and within us, conforming us more to the image of Christ, so that we will appear more like him. He will increase and we will decrease. And finally, we as the through the fruit of gentleness and humility, we are given the charge to build Christian unity. And this is and must be a priority in our daily lives. It is unacceptable if we are holding grudges or slights against one another. Of course, there will be times when we do have disagreements, when we are fed up with one another. But we must make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Else, we fall into the sins of a competitive and proud spirit. So, the character which brings Christian unity. Well, you can call me sad if you want, but I must confess I'm a John Wayne fan. That image of being a tough, independent-minded, rugged individual who never asked for help, the ideal hero of Ernest Hemingway, the frontier cowboy who showed an image of control, self-assuredness, a complete man who needed nothing except himself and never asked for anything because it would have been beneath him. This was the man who the Greeks of Paul's time would have applauded because of gentleness and humility was hated by the Greek culture of that time, where human perfection was lauded and worshipped. Individuality was a virtue. Now that sounds a lot like our society today, doesn't it? Today we have a cult of the individual. You are your own God, the master of your own destiny. You can do whatever you want, when you want, as the L'Oreal advert says, because you're worth it. But that's the problem. That's why these cultures and societies break down. Precisely because it's about me, what I want, what I must have, even if it's clearly bad for me. And that is why I believe society in the West is so broken, because the families are disappearing, violence is increasing, suicide rates are rising, especially among younger men. People are starved of attention. Everyone is facing forward, all in their own worlds, with their earpieces in, blissfully unaware of what is going on in the world around them. The world is anything but a gentle place. It is shallow. It is hollow. It is self-absorbed. It is unloving. And yet, there are those who are seeking a new humanity, which has open, inviting arms and hearts. And it is the people of the church who are humble and gentle, who are called to be those people who have inviting arms and our hearts, who are called to bring unity in a divided world, a world divided by sin and pride, where almost all over the world, polarization and division reign because of man's sin and selfishness. It is those, though, who are humble and gentle who will bring unity. And it is to this to which we, the church, are called. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2 with me. Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, says this, I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We are called to be gentle. And gentleness, or meekness, as it is written in some other translations, is not a weakness. It is not a weakness. It is not just meager submission, like a dog with its tail between its legs after a good telling off. It is not cowardice. No, gentleness, in a biblical context, is strength under control. It is power under control. It is not timid, nor is it spineless, but it is a calm, dignified self-control under extreme pressure. And even when injured, it does not retaliate. It does not harbor resentment. But rather, biblical gentleness is characterized by our blessed Lord Jesus, who in Matthew 11, verse 29, spoke of himself being gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Can we find rest for our souls this morning? If we are not gentle, can we have peace with God? If we are not gentle, as God is gentle with us, it is only the consistent Christian that can be happy. And we are not consistent unless we are mirroring the very image of Christ in our lives. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. That means we are to be like him. We are called to be like him. Therefore, we do not practice retaliation, but we practice forgiveness and non-retaliation. We become gentle. We will be being gentle. And we will be more gentle as Christ is gentle with us. And to be gentle is to foster unity. Verse 3 of Ephesians 4 tells us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, gentleness is peace. And those who are gentle are peacemakers. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Are we children of God today? Are we living in peace with our brothers and sisters and our neighbors? Make no mistake, this is important. And Paul, in this passage of scripture, emphasizes the importance. Look in verse 1, "I urge you." Verse 3, "Make every effort." We cannot take this lightly. Can we be a united church if we are not gentle with one another? If we are not, as verse 2 tells us, being patient, bearing with one another in love? All these are linked together to form the character of Christ in each and every one of us. So we must in our daily living make this a priority. For only then can we be truly united in Christ. We are a body of many parts, of many different gifts, and of different fruits. We complement each and every one of us. We do not compete against one another. That is not being gentle. That is not being patient or forbearing with one another. Competition today is one of the root causes of many church splits today. And it is indeed tragic when members leave their communities. And we here know that pain as well. But we must forgive. We must look forward, not behind. We must, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, "To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." Well, that needs to be our attitude. It is not about us. It is not about you. It is not about me. We are not here to receive the praise of men, but of God. It is about Jesus Christ, and that is why we gather to proclaim his glory, not ours. Could we on board ship save the ship if all we cared about was ourselves? Could we have fought wars successfully if we did not fight as a team? And we just recently celebrated Remembrance Sunday, where we remembered those who gave their lives willingly for their communities, for their families, so that the future generations would have a future free from tyranny. We as a church are one, united in gentleness, a firm resolve to be like Christ, to show the good news of Christ throughout the world. Not just in our speech, but in our actions. The way we behave as a community towards each other, not just the rest of society. We as the church are one. Look at verses 5 and 6 of our passage in Ephesians. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I say again, it is not about us. If it is, then we will not be gentle. We will not be united. We will simply be divided as the rest of the world is divided. It is not a competition. We are not in a race to win. we are in a race to finish. Charles Simeon, the great evangelical clergyman of the late 18th century, early 19th century, said this about his standing preacher, Mr. Thomason. When Charles Simeon had fallen ill and had to retire to the Isle of Wight for 8 months' recuperation, Thomason had had to preach 5 times on a Sunday, and in doing so developed a preaching ability almost the equal of his mentor. Was Charles Simeon jealous? Did he harbour any envy? This is what he said. "He must increase, but I must decrease." John 3, verse 30. "Now I see why I have been laid aside. I bless God for it." He blessed God for it because God was glorified in Thomason's preaching. Jesus was exalted, and Charles Simeon greatly rejoiced. The character of Christian unity is the character of Christ embodied in the church, in ourselves, and in the Trinity. It is a gentle character of strength under control, of patience in love, and above all, it is the character of Christ himself. For as Matthew 11:28 tells us, it is he who gives us rest. It is his whose yoke is easy and burden is light. It is he who will carry our burdens. Are we carrying each other's burdens? Are we giving each other rest, so that Jesus may be glorified? To do this, we must be gentle, we must be humble, and we must be faithful not just to each other, but above all to our God, who is faithful to us. Point two is the divine origin of Christian unity through gentleness. And Aristotle, the famous Greek philosopher, once said in his treatise on ethics that the meek man, or gentle man, was angry at the right person at the right time for the right length of time. Gentleness or meekness, as we have already said, is power under control. The Christian life is a matter of who we are. It is about attitude. And looking at our passage, we see the flow of the characteristics of a Christian, which Paul delineates in verses 2 and 3. There are 5 of them, and they all produce each other, flowing from the same source. For instance, humility produces gentleness, produces patience, produces forbearance, producing unity, which is the sum of all these characteristics. It is a progression in which one characteristic will lead to another. So do we therefore believe that we can produce these characteristics out of our own strength? Are we capable by ourselves, as the world seems to believe, of following these characteristics which pertain to godliness? Or do we need help? Well, Romans 3 verse 10 says that there is no one righteous, not one, meaning that it is impossible for a man to become holy unless he is predestined, called, justified, and then glorified. Romans 8 verse 30. In order for a person, though, to become gentle in the biblical sense, they have to be born again. That is only from God. That is not from ourselves. It is God's Holy Spirit who takes up residence within us, changing our hearts, changing them from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. It is he, the Holy Spirit, upon regenerating us, who persuades us to seek the humility and gentleness of Christ. Paul, in Corinthians 10 verse 1, implores the Corinthian church to not abide by the standards of the world and not to wage war as the world does, but to rather show power under control so that they may demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against knowledge of God. It is precisely through the qualities of humility and gentleness that they will demolish strongholds, that they will show the world the very image of Christ in their behaviour and outlook. and so will we. And nor is gentleness in our scripture or through the Holy Spirit the absence of anger. The power under control that we speak of here is self-control. But this does not mean we do not have a right to be angry. Was not Jesus angry when he threw the moneylenders out of the temple in John 2 verses 13 to 17? Precisely because they had turned God's house into a market. He was angry because God was being dishonored. And that is a lesson for us. We cannot be angry for ourselves, but we can be angry when God is being dishonored because of sin. Ephesians 4 verse 26 tells us not to let the sun go down while we are still angry. This is not gentleness. This is out of control wrath. The lion, which is within all of us, within the human heart, which rages and is only tamed by the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. We cannot and must not lose our tempers. We are, as verse 2 of our text says, to be completely humble and gentle, not just a little bit, or when we feel like it, but completely means all of the time. And this is not easy. This is why Paul stresses in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, his power under control, that he will not have to be as bold or angry as he may have to be towards those who believe they live by the standards of this world. Also, Paul exhorts in Timothy 1, 6, verse 11 and 12, where he exhorts Timothy to flee from the false teachers and the values of this world and tells him to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You see, we have to seek gentleness and we have to seek out the characteristics of Jesus. We have to pursue them. And how do we do that? But by being honest with ourselves, as well as being honest with God. Ask yourselves the question, do I lose my temper too easily? Am I angry purely for myself? Do I get angry when God's honour is at stake? Are there habitual sins which hold me back from gentleness and humility? Do I fight for God's honour by pursuing these graces? Because we are allowed to fight if God's honour is at stake. Do we respond to the word of God in gentleness? Are we convicted to be more gentle and humble? Fighting the good fight of faith for God and for the church. Timothy was exhorted to fight the good fight of faith in verse 12 of the scripture we've just quoted. And we are in a battle, but in this battle, we are led by the Spirit of God, who sanctifies us, making us more and more into the image of Christ. Graham Thompson said 2 weeks ago in his sermon from Philippians 1 that we must keep going as the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. It is he who is the divine origin of our gentleness, of our power under control. It is a supernatural power. It cannot come from ourselves. What shapes our lives must be shaped by the agency of the Holy Spirit, God himself dwelling within us. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It is a struggle, but that struggle is a gift. It is a gift to make us more humble, to make us more gentle, to give us the humility and gentleness of Christ. Now, Henry Martin is a hero of mine. He was a missionary to India, and he was sent out by none other than Charles Simeon. Now, Henry Martin was faced with this problem of gentleness and humility during his ministry as a missionary in India. And we read from Ephesians 2 that he has struggled with the gentleness that came from preaching the gospel to unsaved idolatrous people who worship many different gods. And his desire was to burn out for God, as he famously said in April 1806 when he landed in Calcutta. But his letters, and if you haven't read the letters of Henry Martyn, I really urge that you do. They are filled at times with real exasperation towards the indigenous population and the new converts that came to Christ but under a veil of pride and arrogance. And one of those was called Sabbat, who was an Arab, who really was an extremely proud and arrogant man, who really spoke down to everybody that he came into contact with, even when he was preaching the gospel. And it was Sabbat that helped Henry Martyn in his translations of the New Testament into Hindustani and Persian. And Henry Martyn recounts in all his letters of how he was forced to pray through anger and frustration because of his shame and failure to preach to these people properly. But yet there's one letter where his prayers were answered. And this is what Henry Martyn said about Sabbat. He was writing to a Mr. D. Brown from Calcutta, a reverend. "Yours of the 24th arrived today. Some day Sabbat overworked himself and was laid up. He does his utmost. He is increasingly dear to me, and as I see more of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in him, our conflicts, I hope, are over, and we shall draw very quietly together, side by side." He was writing that about a man he spent months praying for, that his pride would be released. Henry Martyn was being a peacemaker. He was being a united Christian. He was being used by the Holy Spirit. He was bringing gentleness to an Arab's life who probably only knew hostility and terror and rage, pride and anger. Our final point, as we finish, is the charge to build Christian unity through gentleness. And as we have already touched on, those who are gentle are peacemakers. And if we are gentle, we will make every effort to keep the peace, which is what we are told to do in Ephesians 4 verse 3, by keeping the unity of the Spirit. This is a command, not a wish. And we are to do this, and we are to do it with a sense of urgency. Again, honesty is a requisite. We must be honest in our relationships. If we have a problem with a fellow brother or sister, then we must be reconciled to that brother or sister by being gentle. That is not just giving in for the sake of peace. If that person is guilty of a sin, then we must gently reprove them, using scripture if and where necessary. Galatians 6 verse 1 tells us, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." To have a gentle spirit is to live by the Holy Spirit. It is to live in unity with one another. And this is how we are commanded to live. And the charge to build Christian unity may also be painful for us. For we ourselves may be convicted of sin by others in a gentle way, and it may sting us. But we must be prepared to be humble, accepting that rebuke if we are in the wrong. Can we accept criticism? I know people have told me in a fairly frank way some of my faults, and I've had to deal with it. There's been times when my heart has felt, how dare you speak to me like that sort of thing. But actually, it's been done for my good, my benefit, to see where I am not walking as Christ commands me to walk. And can we really accept criticism without retaliation? Well, we must. Are we prepared ourselves to approach a person gently if we know they are committing sin? It is too easy today to let things slide if things are wrong, if we believe just by being quiet and staying silent, we are maintaining unity. The problem cannot just be swept under the carpet. It will rear its head eventually. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a famous Welsh expositor, the 20th century, one said that to be gentle is to be finished with ourselves. In a sense, Martin Lloyd-Jones was expounding 1 Peter 3 verse 4, where the apostle said, rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. The inner self regenerated by the Holy Spirit, making us more gentle and peaceful. A spirit that garners unity and a desire to be united, a desire to be one. Why do football teams win things? And why are companies successful? Primarily because they are united behind a common goal or cause. Well, our cause is greater. The salvation of humankind through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Saviour of the world, the one who was one with the Father, born of the Holy Spirit and born of woman. Perfect Trinity, perfect unity since the beginning of creation. We are finished with ourselves. Our lives belong to God. They belong to Jesus Christ. And they also belong, or we also belong, to each other. And to realize this properly, we must be gentle. Gentle in our relationships. Gentle to those who are unsaved. For as John 1 verse 3 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are united to the Trinity through the unity of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 5 and 6 of our text in Ephesians 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, and also in us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are united to themselves as we are united to them and ourselves. That is the beauty of the Christian faith, that when properly carried out, it fosters the most marvellous togetherness, which we cannot hope to have unless we have a gentle and loving spirit. We must end ourselves for the greater good. We must put others before ourselves, just as Jesus did. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He died with a gentle heart and a gentle spirit, so that we may be made more gentle. He died so that we may have life. And this is not just a New Testament thing. We see examples of this in the Old Testament also. David, a man after God's own heart, he showed a gentle spirit when he spared Saul, whom he believed to be God's anointed king, in 1 Samuel chapters 24 to 28. And this was all despite the fact that Saul was hell-bent on killing him. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. In the ESV and the King James Version, that says meek, meaning gentle. Moses had a gentle spirit. He obeyed the Lord. And despite all his trials in the wilderness, he remained humble and gentle to the end. He remained strong. And this is what gentleness is. It is strength, power under control, power from God and Jesus unto salvation. It is power from heaven. Jesus said in these words in Matthew 5 verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. If we are meek and or gentle, then all is ours in Christ, and we will inherit the earth and much more. All we have to do is come to the Saviour, who is gentle and humble in heart. Matthew 11, verse 29. All we have to do is hear his call. 11:27. And let the Son reveal the Father himself to us, to know that we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are restored. Jesus is our rest, our gentle rest. Let him impart his gentleness to us so that we may have the right attitude, the right spirit, not just towards him, but towards each other and the unbelieving world, so that we may seek and save the lost. Be gentle to each other, as you have been gentle to me and my family over the last week. I thank the Lord for that, and I also thank you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have taken our burdens, that you have, Lord, imparted your gentleness to us, your spirit of humility and kindness and rest and peace. May we as a church know more of that in the coming weeks, months and years, as we proclaim your gospel to an unbelieving world, that they may come to the one whose yoke is meek and burden is light. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We ask your spirit to touch us now, that we may be made more like you, that our church may grow not just in numbers, but in humility, in godliness, in peace, in gentleness. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for Christ's sake. Amen.